CJLO, así que no se me vayan.
The CJLO News.
You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
On ne parle jamais trop de la température.
Montreal. That was Bystand by Dresser, who's going to be playing at La Sauterena this Saturday. They're a local Montreal band. You're listening to The Get Up on CJLO 1690 AM. It is 9:04. I'm your host, Leora. My co-host, Julia, will be joining. Oh, she's walking in as we speak. We're seeing a little bit of rain today in Montreal. Oh. We're just going to get into the weather. It is +2 degrees here in Montreal, mix of light snow and light rain this morning. We're seeing light winds gusting at about 20 kilometers per hour. The rain is forecast to end at midnight, so this weather, this wonderful weather that we've been experiencing the last couple days is it's coming to an end. Saturday is supposed to be cloudy with highs of +6 degrees. Overnight, we will get to -1. Sunday and Monday will be beautiful and sunny, hopefully, just in time for the eclipse, and we should reach highs of 13 degrees according to Environment Canada. We're gonna play a little bit more music, and then after that, we actually pause on that before we get to music. We're gonna listen to a little bit of Traffic from Julia.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, we got some. We don't really have
on time.
Fashionably on time, I say.
Well,
well, the reason why I'm late, a little bit of traffic, but
of
mainly
traffic.
Because of the weather. It's very slippery outside. All of my estimated times of arrivals were pushed because of this. But in terms of usual traffic, we're pretty okay. Dakari's not looking too bad. I see a pretty big buildup on the 40 around Boulevard de l'Acadie. So just be careful out there and drive slow. It's very slippery.
We're going to take a quick music break. We're going to listen to Dub Style by, it says Seed Organization, but I thought it was Icky Mugdal, who's also playing in Montreal tonight. So stay tuned. After the break, we're going to be hearing from Plateau Astro, local Montreal astronomer, your local astronomy guy, to answer some of our big eclipse questions. So stay tuned.
Dub started with R&B records brought from small independent producers. It was the first Jamaican indigenous music that had a new original beat. The same people who owned the sound systems later became producers of records. And in producing these records, they used them in competing against their rivals. Now this style is called Dub Style.
Dub Style.
That was Dub Style by Seed Organization. The day we've all been waiting for, the eclipse, is finally happening this coming Monday. To answer some of my biggest burning... Oh, I wonder if my mic was off the whole time. Anyway, I can hear myself a lot better now. Never mind. Anyway, here with us on the show to talk about the eclipse is local Montreal astronomer, astronomy figure, and his name is Plateau Astro, also known as Trevor. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, and your mic was working great. So
okay, fantastic. It's one of those mornings.
Yep.
How long have you been preparing for this eclipse? Because I'm coming across some Montreal Facebook groups for the eclipse that were made 10 years ago.
Yeah, for me, I guess it would be since 2008. So that's almost 16 years. I went to Nunavut for my first eclipse in 2008. And then I went to Nashville in 2017, which was almost 7 years ago. And so, yeah, it's been a long time coming.
And what exactly is going to happen to the sun?
Yeah, I guess academically speaking, you know, the moon is going to pass in front of the sun and a shadow will be cast over Earth. A quick play-by-play. So in the morning, it'll feel like an ordinary day. Early afternoon, it'll feel like an ordinary day. But then at 2:14 p.m., that's the moment the sun is going to start being blocked by the moon. So if you have your eclipse glasses on when you're watching the sun, you'll see the moon take a little bite out of the sun. And for the next hour and about 10 minutes, the moon will block more and more and more and more of the sun. And then at 3:26 p.m., that's the moment what we call totality. So that's the moment the moon totally blocks it out. It'll go dark in the middle of the day. At that point, you can take off your eclipse glasses and for just about a minute, and then it's the most amazing thing you'll ever see, and then it'll unblock the sun, and you got to put your eclipse glasses back on.
And it's not like a sunset. What is the light going to look like? How will we experience it?
Yeah. So the light kind of feels a little bit strange. I guess maybe the first thing is you mentioned sunset there. In a sunset, you know, the sun sets in the west, and so the light source is just sort of on the west side of the sky. During a total solar eclipse, you get kind of a 360-degree sunset. So in every direction, it looks like how you see a sunset. It's so weird. It's so cool. It's like the most fascinating sunset you've ever seen. The other thing is, like, just in the partial phase, so before totality, all the shadows start to look like little crescents. So if you have like a pasta strainer with a bunch of holes on it, you can like take that and put the shadow on a piece of white paper, and all the little circles are going to look like little crescents. Yeah. And the light plays very, very strange things during a solar eclipse.
And I've also heard some testimonies that the fast moving shadow or eclipses cause people to scream. Do you know why that is?
I think people just get so excited when they see it. I will say that the first eclipse I went to, I was in, as I said, Nunavut, and it was cloudy, and I was with only three other people, so it was just like three of us on a hilltop, like, oh, it's cloudy. Okay, it's dark now.
Right.
Didn't scream, shall we say.
Sure.
In Nashville, I also got unlucky, and a single cloud sort of blocked my view, so it was not screams of ecstasy. It was like, oh, no, please, move. But from videos that people took, when I arrived back at the hostel, who went to another part of the city, they saw it. And yeah, there was like, I don't know, tens of thousands of people in this park, and everybody was just going wild at the moment of totality.
Did you go to Nunavut and to Nashville for the eclipse?
Oh yeah, definitely. There was some, for Nunavut, I got in contact with some eclipse chasers. This is like what they do for their holidays. They travel around the world. And met up with them. And then Nashville, I just went by myself, stayed at a hostel, met some people, and I went to the wrong part of town because that one cloud. My view. So.
Well, hopefully you'll have better luck on Monday.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a basic astronomy question, but how can we predict exactly where and when eclipses happen hundreds of years in advance?
Yeah. Space is very predictable. There's no air. It's all empty out there. So things move around other things. They orbit around each other. So it's very quite predictable. So, you know, we started predicting eclipses probably, 2,500 years ago, but we've continually gotten better and better at predicting them. So probably about 400, 500 years ago, that's when we started getting really quite good at knowing what day they were going to happen. Basically, the moon goes around the Earth, and the Earth goes around the sun, and it does so in sort of a predictable sort of way. So if we know that the moon is going to make a shadow, and we know what part of the Earth is going to be in the way of that shadow, we can know exactly what parts of, you know, the continent are going to see the eclipse. So it's probably very detailed. I've never done this myself. It's, mm-hmm. it's probably built upon decades, if not centuries, of work of other prior people. But we're able to predict hundreds, if not thousands, of years into the future.
And I guess the next eclipse in Montreal is in 162 years. So do you know anything about where? I guess it's just a matter of moving in cycles between now and then.
Yeah, so it does kind of go on a bit of a cyclical basis. The next one to come to Quebec specifically is in 2106, so, 82 years from now. Okay. I think the one specifically for Montreal is year 2200 or something like that. Like, we're all not going to be here.
Yeah.
For many reasons. It'll be a long ways away till we have another one in Montreal.
Yeah, we got to make this one count.
Yep.
For the path of totality, it's apparently at its peak a bit further south in Montreal.
Yep.
What is the difference in how it will be experienced in different areas, and where exactly is the peak path of totality?
Yeah, so this is actually very important. So you need to be in a special part of the Earth in order to get the full experience. So yeah, as you said, it's called the path of totality. If you're in the path of totality, the moon will completely 100% block out the sun. If you're not, it's not the same experience. So Montreal, luckily, is just on the very, very, very edge of it. But not all of Montreal is going to get 100%. Laval, in fact, is only going to get something like 99%. Which sounds like, what difference could 1% make? It's a completely different experience. So if you're in Laval or just outside the path of totality, on Monday, make sure you get into the part of the Earth that sees it. I just quickly, if you go to montrealeclipse.com, it's a quick website I made a few months ago. It has a map and everything, so you can go there if you're unsure.
Okay.
If you're on the very edge of the path of totality, you'll get just a few seconds of it. But if you're closer to what we call the center line of the path of totality, you can get up to about 3.5 minutes. So Sherbrooke is going to get about 3.5 minutes. And so a lot of people ask me, oh, do I have to drive all the way to Sherbrooke? Actually, you don't. The Old Port will get about 1.5 minutes. So a lot of Montreal will get about 1.5 minutes. But if you want to drive, I suggest not to, but if you want to drive, you can get just south of Montreal, just sort of north of the USA border, and you'll get close to, 2.5 minutes. So yeah. I suggest don't drive on Monday because traffic is just going to be nuts.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be a rebel and not listen to me,
okay.
Don't drive to Sherbrooke. You can just drive south of Montreal and you'll get somewhere between around 2.5 minutes.
And then where's the threshold? How far south do you have to go for it to become less time?
Yeah, top of my head, you'd have to be going into the United States. But if you're going to south of Montreal, you'd be in the United States. It's somewhere in Vermont or New York State. I don't know exactly where, but if you go too far south, then you're out of the path of totality. But for most people listening here, if you're just in the Montreal area, try to be sort of on the south part of the island.
And what are your big eclipse plans that you've been planning since 2008?
Yeah, I mean, I do science and space outreach, so a lot of people have asked, hey, what's you're going to be doing a big event, right? My partner, she works at University of Montreal, and so she's hosting an event with the university there. So we're going to be together. It's our first solar eclipse together, so we're going to watch it together.
Cool.
I'm going to try to take a few photos. We're going to be at UDEM. Yeah, I might be doing a solar eclipse after party. So if you follow Plateau Astro on Instagram, you can certainly join the little small bar party. I'm going to do that.
Awesome. And I guess, are you an astronomer? Who is Plateau Astro? What is your background?
Who is he? I was a web designer and a videographer for 10 to 15 years. And then astronomy was just a hobby, an interest of mine. And then about 6 years ago, I just started a little company and brought my telescope in the streets, and then eventually got asked to give presentations in schools and started making YouTube videos and got very active on social media and started writing. So it's actually become my full-time gig now. And
awesome.
So I'm not formally trained, but I have just enough knowledge to be able to entertain and to inform a few people.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been
a
pleasure. Take care.
Thanks.
That was Plateau Astro on The Get Up, CJLO 1690 AM. We're going to take a little music break. And after that, we will be talking to the Black Theater Workshop. Stay tuned.
Injeção dói quando fura, arranha quando entra. Doutor, assim não dá, minha poupança não aguenta. Tá ardendo, mas tô aguentando. Arranhando, mas tô aguentando. Tá ardendo, eu tô aguentando. Arranhando, eu tô aguentando. Tá ardendo, mas tô aguentando. Arranhando, mas tô aguentando. Tá ardendo, eu tô aguentando. Arranhando, eu tô aguentando. Ai, doutor, que dor. Ai, médico, que dor. Ai, doutor, que dor. Ai, médico, que dor.
Hoje eu vou dar minha buceta de graça. Vou sentar porra mesmo, chapadona. eu vou dar minha buceta.
At Cinema Public, we offer a theatrical program made up of local films and international new releases, classics and little-known nuggets, as well as short films and family screenings. Our tickets are among the cheapest in Montreal, $10 for a regular entry, or $8 for students, children, and seniors. We also offer 6-ticket movie cards for even more savings. Come see us at Casa d'Italia, just across from Jean Talon Metro, and visit cinemapublic.ca to discover our programming. It is Cinema Public for a lively cinema.
Bueno, 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 están escuchando la radio de Concordia, CJLO, así que no se me vayan.
Você quer sexo agressivo, ou deixa sua bunda ardendo, ou tá tapa, 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 tapa.
Gosto de uma cachorrada, dou uma bela sentada, jogo um bem na sua cara. Tu sabe que eu sou braba, te amasse, te maltrato, te amasse, te maltrato. Na primeira tripada, me come e some, me come e some. Se tu não brotar em 20, eu vou ligar pra outro homem. Me come e some, me come e some. Te alimento de xereca pra tu nunca passar fome. Me come e some, me come e some. Se tu não brotar em 20, eu vou ligar pra outro homem. Me come e some, me come e some. Sou valesco que na minha casa você nunca passa fome. Me come e some, me come e some. Se tu não brotar em 20, eu vou ligar pra outro homem. Me come e some, me come e some. Me come e some, pra tu nunca passa fome. Me come e some, me come. Sou valesco que na minha casa você nunca passa fome. Da cidade e também a mais querida. Faço homenagem contigo. Pego tu e tua mina. Pego tu e tua mina. Pego tu e tua mina.
Faço homenagem contigo. Pego tu e tua mina.
Se tu me convidou é porque sabe que eu sou braba. E hoje de cantinho eu vou jogar na tua cara. Heavy baile, pega firme. Você senta, você curte. Esse beat te arregaça. É Larinha, ele é o justo.
Me chama de piranha. Me chama de bandida, faço minas de contigo, pego tu e tua mina. Me chama de piranha, me chama de bandida, faço minas de contigo, pego tu e tua mina.
Pô, um beat bom, uma letra safada. A heavy baile vai ficar popozuda, pô, aquele pique.
Welcome back to The Get Up. You're listening to CJLO 1690. I'm your host, Julia, and I'm with Leora this morning. And we are talking about theater. The Black Theater Workshop is closing off their season this year with the Montreal debut of a play called Every day, she rose. I made it a spelling error. The play raises many important questions about intersectionality, police brutality, and perspective. Leora and I were at the premiere last night, and we loved the energy. It was beautifully introspective, and we got some good laughs in, too. So we're speaking with one of the actors now, Francois McDonald. Welcome on our show. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, Julia. I'm doing great. Thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. So last night was the first time you performed this play. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, we had a dress rehearsal leading up and lots and lots of rehearsals, of course. But last night was the first time we had it for a crowd. In spite of the crazy storm, we really appreciated the fact that quite a few people made it out.
Yeah, no, it was great. How did you feel about that first performance? And I know that you're from Montreal. How does it feel to play in your hometown?
Yeah, you know, it was extra special for me because I did grow up here. I'm currently based in Toronto as an actor, but yeah, I spent most of my life in this city. And so being on a stage in the city for the very first time as a professional actor was really special for me. It felt really great up there. It felt good. It's always a little spooky when you do it for the first time. But we had such a warm crowd, and it just felt like we're ready for this. You know, this is the time. Let's go. Let's have a blast.
Yeah, it was a really sweet atmosphere. People were pretty supportive. Francois, can you give us a quick summary about what this play is about?
Absolutely, yeah. So this play is about two characters. So we've got Kathy Ann and Mark. Kathy Ann is a black woman. Mark is a white cis gay man. And they have been best friends for a very, very long time. They live together in a condo in the gay village in Toronto. And this takes place in Pride during the Toronto Pride Parade in 2016. This parade was interrupted by Black Lives Matter. And this actually happened, by the way. So it's based mm-hmm. around this particular event. And basically, what follows after the interruption of the parade by Black Lives Matter is a longer conversation between our two characters, Kathy Ann and Mark, about what this means to each of them. And basically, they have a big disagreement about what it means to them and the importance of it. And it kind of revolves around privilege. Privilege and the understanding of who wins, who loses, who is seen, who is not seen. So that's the first degree of the story. And then the second degree is there are two writers who are writing the story about Mark and Kathy Ann. Those writers are Nick and Andrea. And so basically the play intercuts back and forth between the story of Mark and Kathy Ann and then the story of Andrea and Nick, who are writing the play in real time. So it's a little meta, basically.
It's a play within a play.
Yeah.
And yeah, where your characters play other characters that almost mirror their lives. And I am wondering, what was the intention of this form? Like, what effect does that have on the story?
Well, I will tell you from an actor's perspective, it is quite the challenge. You know, there's a lot of heavy lifting that happens between myself and my amazing scene partner, Emmer Jade Sims, because we are both playing two parts. So I'm playing both Mark and Nick, and Emmer Jade is playing Kathy Ann and Andrea. So there's a lot of weaving in and out that goes back. There's a lot of specificity that needs to happen between who is Mark and who is Nick, and how are they different vocally, physically. So for me, at least, I've never done a two-hander before. This is my first like two-person play, and it was quite a task, quite a challenge. Yeah, you know, we had a great director, Diane Marie Bridge. She guided us so well, made us feel so welcome, and really helped us through the whole process a lot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, really, really intense experience, but really great experience.
Yeah, well, it shined a light, I guess, on the introspection that the characters are doing. I'm wondering if that's the reason why it's formatted that way, because at first it took us by surprise.
Exactly, yeah. It's you know, when you start, if you've never read the play or seen it before and you're sitting there and you're watching, you're thinking, oh, this is just about two friends who are going to Pride. And then, you know, two scenes in, boom, there's a switch. And then we go to two new characters and say, okay, what's going on here? But yeah, I think that was definitely part of the intention, because this play is written by two playwrights together. It's co-written. And in fact, their names are Nick Green and Andrea Scott. So they actually took their own names and put them in the play, which is quite funny. So, you know, we've tried to treat them as characters rather than treating them as like the real people that they are in the real world. You know, rather than putting intentions onto them, we just think of Nick and Andrea as characters in the play. But I think that was quite intentional, because it's saying, hey, we are two writers. One of us is a white cis gay man. The other one is a black woman. And we are figuring out, we're tackling these issues together with our different perspectives. And I think that's something quite rare. You don't get that very often. You usually get one or the other, and you usually get a lot of, how could I put this? There's a lot of carefulness, a lot of walking on eggshells around conversations like this, which doesn't really happen in this play, which is a nice, it's really nice, actually. It's nice to just kind of be able to dive in and see what happens.
Yeah, it's a nice example of what you can do with your friends and how you can continue to to discuss things that make each other uncomfortable, to do it with compassion. And it was really beautiful. It was great to watch. And at one point, Kathy Ann asks your character, Mark, why Mark is writing this particular play. And I wanted to kind of turn this question to you. What is your reason for acting in a play like this that brings up the dynamics of intersectionality of race in Toronto?
Yeah. I mean, that is such a great question. I think for me personally, as Francois, what it means to me to be in this play is I feel like I'm putting myself at the service of an important conversation that needs to happen, and an important conversation that needs to happen regarding race, regarding sexual orientation or gender identity, and regarding the privilege that surrounds either or the lack thereof. So I feel quite good about, you know, putting myself at the service of this conversation, because often there's a lot of fear around the conversation. There's a lot of fear about being wrong, about saying the wrong thing, about being offensive, about being perceived as a bad person or someone who doesn't understand the issue or who is, you know, whatever, like just, you know, racist. Actually, that word comes up a lot in the play, you know. Nick says, well, I'm not racist. Mark, I'm not racist, you know. So if there is space to have these conversations, then we're not canceling people. We're not pointing fingers at anyone. We're really just saying, okay, where are you coming from with this? What experience are you bringing to this? And let me tell you what mine is, and then I want to hear what yours is, and let's just see where we meet in the middle, you know? So I think for me, that's why it was really important for me to be part of this project. That's why I submitted myself for, and I auditioned for it, and very luckily I was chosen to be part of it.
Right. No, that's really great. What's one of your biggest takeaways from working on this piece, right? Like, how did all those emotions figure for you in the process?
Biggest takeaway I would say is, don't, how could I put this? I think it's a good idea to never judge a book by its cover. And I know I'm saying that kind of literally with like the published play, but I mean, don't assume that you know everything about something, just because you think you have all the information already. I think it's always, we always do ourselves a disservice by having, you know, an arrested opinion about something and saying, you know what, that's what I think, that's what I perceive, and that's that. I think no matter how old we are, no matter how much experience we have, it's always much better to approach with curiosity, approach with openness, because you can always learn something. And we do have a tendency as we get older to say, you know what, I've seen everything I need to see in this world. I know what I know, and that's it. I don't care about the rest, you know? And then we do ourselves a disservice, I feel, by doing that. So that's really my biggest takeaway from this is just, you know, always approach with curiosity, with openness, and with grace, really. because you never know what you'll learn and you never know where it will take you in this world.
Francois, you're going to be playing in this play for the next week. Is there anything else that's coming up for you?
I've got a couple of projects lined up. I can't quite talk about them yet.
That's okay.
They're movies, actually. So.
Oh wow.
So I have a part in a film that I will be shooting in probably April or May. And then I've got something else later in the summer. So some very exciting stuff. But this is the first play I've done since before the pandemic, so I'm pretty psyched about that, and very, very hopeful that everyone will be able to come and see it. We're on stage until April 13th. Yes, 13th, Saturday, April 13th. And we're at Espace Libre, which is a theater close to Frontenac Metro Station, corner of Ontario Street and Fulham Street. So please, please, please come if you are listening to this podcast.
That's right. Go see the play. Francois McDonald, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
See you next time. Okay, Liara. Hi. We're going to play some music, some ads. It is 9:42 a.m. You're listening to CJLO Radio, The Get Up with Julia and Liora.
Let's get into the music.
Thank you. próximo fin del mundo vendrá en el minuto siguiente de un próximo ser.
You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
Le ciel bleu sur nous peut s'effondrer.
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
Thank you. sits with me in the booth when the melodies come and the vibe enters the room. I feel my mama's glancing. I'm proud of you. The house she's living in is growing taller every day, just like she's growing older. I see it in her face, but she is one of the strongest, one of the bravest. Heavy in her belly when she crossed that ocean and made sure we had a safe haven. Made sure we had a paved way when that was nothing that she ever had for herself. Raising three kids on her own, she took a job and a step back. Rest, pause on things that could have been. Ignored the past and how I wish she didn't. But she made way so that we could soar to heights that make her dizzy. I look at her gratefully.
Raise my glass to all the ones before me. How they paved the way. Yeah, swear to do my best to break the circles. Free us from all the weight we've been carrying.
Draw map of the world, trace the lines. Clay and blue, there's green in between. Things coming together finally. Like two trains colliding on full speed, packed with history, culture, grief. I wake sometimes from my ancestors' screams, surely of joy, but who knows what did they see with their eyes. I have my grandma's, her hands, her walk, and I didn't even know her at all. But it shows that loneliness is a concept to abandon. I might not always like it, but every time I laugh, my father's features speak right through me. And I'm happy to be the joy that he could never feel. So proud to pass it on to the next one. I look at him gratefully.
Raise my glass to all the ones.